Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning! You're listening to Own Your Career, the weekly summit for students and professionals to develop their skills necessary to run their career as a business and become the CEO of Me, Inc. Good morning, everyone. This is Rob Cologne from, yes, Columbus, Ohio, on Block Talk Radio, online at blocktalkradio.com/ownyourcareer. For the past 16 years, I've been in the trenches, motivating, coaching, educating, and empowering today's and tomorrow's professionals in how to manage their career in the 21st century, helping each individual to transform from an employee-entitled mindset to career ownership, to become the CEO of Me, Inc., and the mindset that comes with it. For the next 60 minutes, I will cover topics critical for the CEO of Me, Inc. I'm looking forward to taking your call at 347-857-3320. That's 347-857-3320. Today's theme is how to successfully leverage a job fair, a career fair, that you're going to be going to. So for students, they call them career fairs, and for mid-career professionals, they're job fairs. And to me, they're all pretty much the same thing, and we're certainly going to cover that at length. Before we get cooking in that theme, though, a couple of things occurred during the week, very interesting things. We were over at Georgian Court University on Thursday evening for our monthly Own Your Career program, and it was really cool. We had quite a few students and professionals kind of interchanging there, and just the sort of individuals, the kids, you know, the students at 18, 19, 20, and 21 years old, hearing from professionals in their mid-careers and about navigating careers and what's exciting for students and what's going on and how to, you know, start and build their career and their value proposition and understanding market demand. It was really nice to be in the middle there and just kind of just seeing how it just played out and the professionals there willing and giving and sharing. And certainly individuals, some of the students were actually able to help some of the mid-career professionals with their contacts, and it was just lively networking, and I just saw the belief level of the students hearing it from professionals at such a wonderful level that it made such an impact to them. And then certainly for the mid-career professionals, just hearing the information again, and certainly, you know, how things are changing for them and how they really need to adjust to the 21st century and from a technology standpoint and branding, that it's no longer about just doing a good job. It's about doing great work as well as managing one's career, knowing how to brand and marketing and all that. So it was a lot of fun. And certainly for those who are listening in and who was at the event, thank you so much. Really appreciate that. That was a great event. Also on Tuesday night, we had our last Lead Your Career program, and that's run by the Buy 1J organization. And Vicky Gatti is the individual who coordinated the entire program, and it was a good year of helping over 100 pharmaceutical professionals, all different core spaces, and it was our last class. And like anything else, it was a bittersweet. It was great to see individuals, and this group was about 30. And when they started the class and heard about what's this whole CEO of Me, and after 8 weeks and of coaching, and certainly my co-coach, Abby Kohut, was, you know, certainly involved with many of these students as well. But to see what they had to say about the transformation, that some have landed, some others are still in the midst, but just the change of mindset about ownership, about what to do, how to network, how to prepare paperwork, that empowerment that they had, this is really at the nutshell what's all about. So, you know, we're all creatures of habit, and sometimes it's certainly difficult to change, but when you think about owning your career, that is certainly a major change. And in most of my recent writing, we talked about the paradigm shift. But one of the things about change is just being in Columbus, Ohio, versus in what I call my bunker of my home in Jackson, New Jersey, to do the radio program from a different location where you have to put papers, and it's just a different setting. So I tell you, change is always a little uncomfortable. And also, this city of Columbus, Ohio, beautiful city, but it is all about college football. It is a Saturday, and there's a big game tonight of Ohio State Buckeyes with the Wisconsin. I think they're the Badgers, and it's a big game tonight. And everyone here at the hotel It's all about college football, 24/7. So I wish the Buckeyes a good game. So with that, let's move on to our theme: how to successfully leverage a job and job fair, career fair. So the key is using your time efficiently and wisely. And any career fair is the key to success. I'm going to cover that at length. To make the most of a career fair, you must be prepared and organized, just like any business owner. Otherwise, you may lose the opportunity to make a positive first impression or find out critical information. Consider your time at the career fair to be like an interview. And come prepared. So here are a couple of things. All right, we're going to cover it from what do you do before, what do you do during, and then what do you do after. All right? You're listening to Own Your Career. This is Rod Colon out of Columbus, Ohio, on Blog Talk Radio, online at blogtalkradio.com/ownyourcareer. And we're taking your calls at 347-857-3320. 347-857-3320. Many have asked, Rod, when do I call in? When should I ask the question? Anytime. Don't worry about it. Just ask a question, and we'll be free to answer it. So some feel a little more comfortable when it's the mailbag time. And so really, it's up to you whenever you like. So we'll take your call, and we'll continue with the job. So preparation. So here I am. Let's see, it's Rod Colon, project manager, financial services has been my background. I've been out of work for a little bit. And they have posted and shared through my network that there's going to be a job fair where 100 companies will be at. It's a whole day affair, talking about 8 hours. It starts at 10 o'clock and moves on somewhere to 6, 7 p.m. Let's say it's that long. And I find out about it, it's 2 weeks in advance, so I'm getting myself ready. So what do I do? Right. Well, the first thing is I want to contact the folks running the event. Okay? And I want to find out from them who are the firms that are going to be in attendance, who are the individuals that may be attending from the firms. Can I volunteer in some way in the preparations for the event so that I'm certainly involved as best as I can with the inner circle? Because it's those folks in the inner circle who know the folks are going to be, either know the leadership of the organization or know the individuals who will be attending. So anyhow, anywhere you can, if you have the time and you can, help out, chip in, volunteer, give your time. Not that you have to volunteer on that day, but there's a lot of work that goes on in preparing for this event, phone calls, follow-ups, things of that nature that you may be able to help and support them, especially if you're in transition and we have a little bit of time. You can include and incorporate these things on your resume as well. Get to know them. They love you. Certainly, when you're putting an event of this size, all hands on deck is always appreciated. So you can get good, and leverage that. So I've made the phone calls. They're okay on staff, no need for volunteers. I find out who the organizations are going to be there, and then we start working the process as to, okay, there are 100 firms, I got my list, and I start looking at the openings for these organizations. Okay? So out of the 100, I realized that 20 of them have openings for project managers. Okay? So now I begin to start preparing my paperwork and getting it ready. We call it our value proposition. So I'm preparing a value proposition. That means a copy of the job description, a T letter, our cover letter style, we call it the T cover letter, as well as a resume, which is targeted for each position. So I'm working with 20 openings for 20 different companies, and I'm preparing 20 different value propositions. Okay, that's, so I'm just getting all this ready. At the same time, I am leveraging my advocates internally. Right? So at this time, I got my 20 firms, I've laid them out, and I start finding out as much information I can about the individuals inside the organization, my advocates. How we find advocates is we use LinkedIn. We look up in advanced search, level 1s, level 2s. We look for individuals who are currently in that company, both on the HR side and individuals who you believe can work in this department, and you start having conversations with them. Talking about that there's a job fair going on, how should I best be prepared, there's specific openings, trying to get as much advice and tips as possible from it. In working with the leadership of the event planning team, they actually may give you the names or may be listed of the names of the recruiters who are going to be there from the company. Certainly, I want to do a LinkedIn search on them, on their profile. If someone, a friend of mine, knows them, a level one knows them, I'll certainly inquire with my friend as to how well do they know them, what's their style, what's their type, are they really good friends, possibly an introduction even before I meet them. These are all things that we can consider. This is all part of the preparation, which is important. So putting my paperwork together, I really understand the job description. I understand what he's looking for. I can see it. Now, I also, typically there's a map, a floor map of where the companies are going to be. So you want to look at the map and kind of strategize ahead of time as to who are you going to attack first. So you don't want to work it alphabetical order. You want to certainly kind of work it one way. And also think about it. You want to work it strategically. So, for instance, if it's one table and then the one right next to it, and then the individual is hearing you at this table saying the same thing at this table, you want to kind of spread the joy a bit, right? So you don't want to be saying your value proposition, all this. You want to make it unique and a little different. So you don't want the recruiters next to each other kind of hearing the same thing. They may see that, especially in the beginning where it may not be as crowded. So just kind of play it, work it across, right? It may take a little, just slightly longer to work one room, one side of the room and the other side. But if you go one table to the next table to the next table, it's kind of almost, and I've been in the role of the recruiter, and I've been in the role on the other side as well. You kind of already anticipate what the individual is going to say. So it's like the same old, same old. So, and the individual always wants to feel themselves like they're unique and wow, this person's really special. But if they heard you say practically the same thing next door, just kind of be, I'm sure you understand what I'm saying. Work the room properly. So look at the map, see how you want to work it. But I wouldn't encourage you to go side by side. For those that you're really interested in, for those 20, work it strategically. Okay. So if it happens that the three organizations that are right next to each other, and they can practically hear each other. Sometimes they don't give you a lot of space. You want to kind of move it around just a little bit. Okay, so I'll go, from the north side of the room to the south side to the west side, and work the 20 there. Because the other organizations, the other 80, if I get to them, I'll get to them, but they're not as critical as these 20 organizations. So I'm working the details. I'm working it right. From that side. So this is all preparation. I got my map now. I have my paperwork ready. I've spoken to my advocates and connectors into these individuals. I actually may have spoken to one or two corporate recruiters who said, oh, great, looking forward to seeing you, Rod. I mean, this is all preparation. And I would say most individuals don't do this at all. They this is just, the first time they start thinking about it is the morning, but, that morning and, how do I best work. But this is all the strategy and the preparation that goes into it. And because this is what business owners do in preparing for these types of events. Okay, so here I am. It's now the night before. Got all my papers worked. So do I just go there with my valise or my bag or it's just my portfolio? But that 20 value proposition, that's going to be a thick little portfolio book there. So, I want to come with my bag, nice leather bag, a nice bed there, kind of put everything aside, have them all ordered. Probably put them in a little manila folder for each one, labeled by each company, nice and neat. Kind of have, I probably work with the event planning team to say, is it okay if I leave my bag here? So I'll kind of use my bag as a point, but they're not seeing me with this whole big bag, just very professionally, just with my, almost like just ready for an interview, right? So you're not bringing in your full bag with all the stuff and kind of flipping through 100 pages. You just are you're smooth, very, very smooth and neat. So here I am. It's now time. Now, we then talk about attire, right? So I have seen individuals, because it's a job fair, career fair, come in, business casual or, and in some cases, even less business casual. think of it, you're at your best, you know, wardrobe for business, for an interview, right? So for me, that's a suit. For a woman, whatever they view as their best attire for an interview, that's what you want to have, okay? So here it is. I'm ready. I'm all set. I get there nice and early, and I want to work the tables that are in these 20. I just don't kind of want to circle around and fuzz around. I want to go in with impact. So here I am. I'm ready. I'm all set. And I see that, let's say it's ABC firm is the first organization on my list of 20.
Okay.
I now approach them to the table. I'm nice and early. I've got my, I had my coffee. I'm all set up, wired up. Got my tea. I'm not bringing tea or coffee with me to the table. That's all been, you know, went to my Dunkin' Donuts and did the usual and all set. And certainly any food that's going to kind of spicy or saucy or any food that's going to make you uncomfortable when speaking with someone, you want to avoid those types of food early in the morning. Okay. So I go to the table, and I'm ready. I'm all set. I know this opening. I just took a look at my quick script as to this is the opening, this is the pitch, this is what I'm looking at. This is why you always kind of go back to command center somewhere in that room where you have your bag and you're kind of just getting ready, yourself ready. And I go across the table and see if they're smiling or not, and it's, you know, good morning or good afternoon or good evening, whatever time it is, and shake their hand. And the first thing I want to do is I want to appreciate them for being there. Many individuals have taken their time, and for many corporate recruiters, this is not an exciting time. They're like, oh, all right, it's my turn to do one of the fairs. Yep, well, who's got it? I drew the short stick. Yep, okay. You know, some enjoy it and love it, some others don't. But it's part of the job. So you want to appreciate them for being there. And by, you know, appreciating them, thank you, appreciate you being here. You know, there are a couple other things. This is where you're now going to get a sense for them as to their response.
Yeah, I hate it here. I can't.
You know what you're up against. This is great. No, I love it here. We've always had good candidates. Kind of get a sense, almost like a boxer in that first round. You're just feeling each other out, and this is a good question. Say, you know, thank you so much for being here. Really appreciate it. And then we're going in now straight. Okay, we're not going to be coy. You know, so let's say the individual who's across the table, I see on their name tag, his name is Joe. Hey, Joe, you know, I'm Rod Colon. How are you? Great. Thank you so much for being here. Really appreciate your time. You know, I've done my research on the organization. You know, so thank you so much for being here. He'll say something. Then, Joe, I've done my research on the organization. And at this point, I now have my paperwork in my hand. There's an opportunity 73 for a project manager which calls for this, this, and this skill. And in essence, what you're sharing here is your T letter. Right, so on the left-hand side, you're thinking about, you're not reading it, right? So it's not a script, you're not reading this. But you kind of know, your organization is looking for this, 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 and this. And over the last period of time, you know, what I've done is, these skills. I've done this work and this work and this work, and this was the result. So you're really giving the actual T layer. And here's the key question. Joe, what should be my next step? Right. So this is the question that ends that first phase. So one is to appreciate. Two is to share, in essence, what you have on the T letter. And the goal here is you're seeking their advice. You're seeking their wisdom as to what should be their next step. Right? You're listening to Rod Colon on Own Your Career on Block Talk Radio, online at blocktalkradio.com/ownyourcareer. I'm sharing with you from Columbus, Ohio, the home of the Ohio State Buckeyes, and taking your calls at 347-857-3320. That's 347-857-3320. Today's theme is how to successfully leverage a job fair, a career fair. And right now we're into the midst of, and we've discussed the preparation, now we're in the midst of first conversation with an individual who's a recruiter representing an organization, and we've just said, hi, Joe, Rod Cologne, appreciate you being here. Just kind of get a sense for what they're at. Joe, I've done my research on the organization. There's a wonderful project manager opportunity that I'm really excited about. What you're looking for, your organization is looking for these skills. Over the last 10 years, I've done these skills with this result, which helped the organization that I was last at save, you know, $1.6 million. Here's a power question. Joe, what should be my next step? And Joe will say a couple things. Joe will say, well, it's not my opening. I really don't know it. And I'm saying, great. I'm saying, sure. What should be my next step? Right? And as you're talking now, you're actually now turning your paperwork to them, you know, almost showing the job description, showing the T-letter, the beauty of that T-letter format, which when people look at it, like, they're impressed, and your targeted resume. The targeted resume is kind of just kind of the last piece. Because really the first is the T-letter that makes the impact. And the job description knows that you truly did the research. So what should I do, Joe? What should be my next step? He says, you know, I did you submit your resume to our portal? And I would say, yes, if I did. And this is all the pre-work, right? So you could submit. Or I've been waiting, or I said, I actually submitted it through an employee referral. Jill, you know, Susan Smith. Do you know Susan? And they probably don't. Oh, great. So should I have Susan contact you? No, so these are all the and this is kind of where you just have to just play it by ear, see how it goes, see how it works, but understand the goal is just to kind of get this information in the right hands. So if they say, did I submit? Yes, I submitted, or I went through Susan Smith and would submit it through the employee referral system. Great. So they said, oh, so you've done everything right. Great. Is there anything else that I should do? Should I leave this paperwork here? Kind of see, you know, what's going on. Some will say, oh, and here's where you hit the bullseye. Yes, that's my role. This, I am the recruiter for that. You are now in the interview. So if they say to you, yes, I know the role, I know it very well, everything you say now, you're being interviewed. And for many, I say, geez, you know, I haven't had an interview in you know, 18 months. Well, you're in an interview right now. And they'll probably say, well, tell me a little bit more. Because remember, for an HR, a corporate HR person, to pick up somebody on a job fair, a career fair, it makes it all worthwhile. It makes their investment. And trust me, they are spending money, right? They're paying for that table. They want to make sure that they get their, you know, the return of investment. And if I'm a recruiter and I'm working and I find two or three individuals, wow, payday, awesome. Kudos to me, Rod, as the HR person for bringing in such great talent and being at this event. The hosts, the individuals who run the event, love it that this was a successful event. So you just remember all these things that are going on behind the scenes. This is business thinking. This is CEO mindset. This is not I'm an employee, everything is about me, and I'm entitled to everything. It's about you're running it as a business. Right? So these are all the things that come to play. So the individual says, no, it's not my job. It's not. I'm not recruiting for that, but it's my associate, Peter. Peter has this opening. Hey. So, Joe, what should be my next step? And he will say, well, let me get your paperwork to Peter. Oh, let me get you Peter's information. Whatever. Okay? Just work with it. Right? This is all part of, and this is where when you shake that hand, and if you've had the most terrible month, if you fell down and scratched your knees, your heels came off, whatever it is, I understand, but they don't care, and it's now showtime. So whatever you have in your mind, whatever blasé, whatever negativity, whatever is going on in your life, it's okay. We understand. We all have issues. Just don't bring them to the table. Don't bring it to the stage. Don't bring it to showtime. Because you're now running your business, and you got to be on. And it's not about being like Rod, I don't want you to be like me. I want you to be the greatest you. Interested, excited, passionate, knowledgeable, confident, in your own way, where you're at your best. That's the person that needs to come out. And preparation will help you with that. So we're now coming to the close of this conversation where you're going to do something or they're going to do something, but certainly there's going to be some follow-up on one party or both parties. This is where we start locking it up. So they're going to forward the paperwork on to someone. Great. What should be my next step? Well, when should I hear something back? Well, I'm sure Peter will get back to you. Oh, great. You know, and this is, if you can master this part, you're on your way. Because here it is, and I know how you feel, right? So here it is. I haven't interviewed in 12 months, and I just had an interview. I've just spoken to someone who's very interested and very excited, either doing something on my behalf, advocating for me internally, or they're actually the recruiter who's responsible. So things are going well. And then I get amnesia. Well, what do you mean? Yeah, I get amnesia now. I forget to close it properly, which is the follow-up. How do I get back to you without saying that? So let's stay strong with the mindset, because here it is. I'm speaking with someone who says, yeah, no, I'm sure Peter will be getting back to you by Friday. That's great. Thank you so much for being here, Rod. Yeah. I forget. I'm so happy. I'm like, I can see myself dancing in the clouds right now. Hallelujah. Someone finally likes me. And I forget, and I walk away. Not knowing when to follow up, don't have any information, nothing. Haven't locked the thing. Joe, they're still business owners. All right? We could jump up and down, in the bathroom. Right now, we still got to lock it up. So, here we are. Thank you so much, Joe. I really appreciate it. What should be my next step? Oh, great. You'll get this over to Peter. Fantastic. When do you expect Peter should get back to me? By next Friday? Great. But, Joe, if by next Friday that doesn't happen, things get busy, is it all right if I follow up with you? Sure. And this is where you're going to get a sense. They may not. They may give you information. They may not. This is where, you give them your card as well. Typically, when you give them a card, they don't. Now, here's the deal. Most times at a job fair, corporate recruiters do not like to give business cards. They just don't. They're almost instructed, or just themselves. They don't want to be, hammered by hundreds of individuals who are not good fits, and those who are not CEO of me have no tact. They call up every day or never call up, and it's just, it's a waste of everyone's time. So they typically don't give out cards. So what I do is, when there's a follow-up, I'll give them an extra card of mine, which is blank. I say, great, love to follow up with you. Because you got them now. What do you mean you got them? Yeah, I got them. They didn't have a card. No problem. So you don't have a card, no big deal. All I need you to do is just write your name, email address, and phone number. We're good. So now you got them. Now they will say, oh, no, I'm not allowed to, or no, that's okay. It's cool. Are you on LinkedIn? Great. Is it right if I send you an invitation on LinkedIn just to follow up on it? Yeah. Can I look you up? Great. Is your name spelled this way? Blah, blah, blah. Is there a middle initial? Is there a maiden name? Just get the right name and how it's done on LinkedIn. So many times I go on LinkedIn, I can't find the individual. Oh, it's not Rebecca, it's Becky. Oh, it's not Smith, it's Smith-Jones. I can't find it. So kind of just confirm what's their name. That's all good. So you're listening to Own Your Career. This is Rod Colon from beautiful Columbus, Ohio, the city of the Buckeyes, I guess, right? I guess it's the state of the Buckeyes where Ohio State plays. We're on Block Talk Radio on blocktalkradio.com/ownyourcareer. We're taking your calls at 347-857-3320. That's 347-857-3320. We are discussing today how to successfully leverage a job fair, career fair. So now, the follow-up. So we're done. We're excited. Things went well. We took their brochures, all that good information. And certainly if you got their business card and email or LinkedIn, And within 24 hours, you want to follow up with them. You want to follow up with your advocates inside saying that you met this person, see what they know about them, see if they can contact or reach out to this person for you. You know, now you leverage your team. This is all hands on deck to see if it works well. And you do that for all 20 organizations that you feel that there is an opening that's a 70% or better match. Great way to, you know, run a job fair. Yeah. Now, if I'm a student, what's the difference? Preparation is the same. Finding advocates inside the organization and alumni inside the organization, that's the same. We're all the same. Yes, for students thinking of themselves as business owners and all that, yes, it does require more mental exercise, absolutely. But you can do it as well. There's no question about it. Okay? The advocates are individuals who, you know and they know them. So it could be individuals who are professors who know the right individuals. It could be a teacher. It could be a family member. It could be someone from the alumni association who knows the right people inside the organization. And you're fearless. Why? Because you're a business owner. Business owners are fearless. But they're not just doing anything. They're doing the right thing. They're prepared. They're following a process. So the preparation work for a mid-career professional or student, same. All the same. When you're working there, when you're working the actual event, work it the same way. The only difference is you're not going to be speaking of work experience that you have. You're going to be speaking about volunteer experience or things that are comparable or similar to. Right? The results are certainly not going to be as significant as a mid-career professional because of experience, but don't underestimate the power of volunteer work and doing things internationally and doing those types of works, which are, you know, it always brings an individual who's a corporate recruiter to say, that's interesting work that we certainly can, if you have this experience, we can easily teach you, you can easily move those skills to this area, they're transferable, but certainly sound excited and about them. If you follow the strategy, you're going to come across as so professional, so you truly are going to separate yourself from everyone else, both mid-career professionals and students. But as a student, just they're going to say, wow, you know, they're probably in their 20s, but boy, are they thinking like they're, you know, in their mid-30s, 40s. I can use more people like this. So that's very, very important. So now we talked about, and I've worked in what we call a buddy system, right? You work a career fair with a buddy, an associate. You tag up. You're in teams. And you're sharing information. So if I go in with a buddy who's a project manager, we're preparing the same way. We're sharing notes. We're doing all the stuff. We're helping each other out. And, yes, okay, can we compete for the same thing or the same area? Yes, we compete. That's okay. I wish him well, and I got an angel inside. If he gets it and I don't get it or she gets it, we're okay. But I need a buddy. I need somebody with me, one, to keep me all charged up and pumped up, and at the same time, give me good business intelligence. This firm said this. This is what they asked. We share each other's notes. We compare. Which firms you work? And I'm working here. Who'd you meet? I met there. Oh, by the way, this firm I just spoke to, they're not on your list, but they should be because of this. And every, 20 minutes, 40 minutes, you kind of check back at headquarters in the location. What are you hearing? This is what I'm hearing. Beauty of texting. They asked this. They went here. Work it together as a team. Right? Because a lot of times I may be working a table and I'm like, oh, my Lord. What a waste of time. The individual didn't want to be here. They were upset. Something happened. All they're saying is, here, let me get your resume and you know, they put it on the table in the inbox there, and they have absolutely no interest in getting to know anybody. It is a waste of time. And here it is. And sometimes these job fairs, you can be on a line with 50 people. 50! I mean, you can network the whole line. But by the time you get there, okay, let me get your resume, call up this number, and, see you later. You need... I don't want to be waiting on a line of 50. If you worked on it, I'll let you know as well. I said, no, Rod, don't waste your time. Joe, don't waste your time. No, they're not doing anything here. Work it. Work it smart. Work it with a team. And there's nothing wrong with you. Let's say I'm working with Peter, another project manager. We're working it together. And I would say, look, there's someone who I know. There's six opportunities. There's a really great guy. We've did a lot of work together. I know his work. His name is Peter Smith. And he's great. You know, what should I do? Well, have him come to the side. Great. You know, if I walk him over, you know, I'll walk him over to you, and then you take it from there. You do that. You look out for each other. Powerful. Right? Because if I'm at a career fair, and I just spoke with someone, and that person says, I have someone who's really good, very talented, could be ideal for this role, and they walk him over, cutting the line, as you're not going to go back online, and yeah, you get all those ugly stares like you're great adventures, you know, cutting the line, but you just want to bring the individual in and just kind of work it that way, and then they could go back on the line. But you want to, I mean, that person, the recruiter is impressed by you, your friend is, you just blew your friend away, and it just says, you know, what type of an individual is going to stick their neck out on the line for someone else? It just adds to your credibility, right? It's just impressive. And these are things that just don't go on. You're listening to Own Your Career. This is Rod Colon from Columbus, Ohio on Blog Talk Radio, online at blogtalkradio.com/ownyourcareer. Okay, we're taking your calls at 347-857-3320, 347-857-3320. Let's see, calendar of events this week on Monday. I'm going to be at Bridgewater State University, and at 5:30 p.m. I will be doing a keynote speech at the university for their Hispanic Heritage Month. So if you know friends, families, network associates in that area of Bridgewater, Massachusetts, by all means, have them reach out to me. I'd love to say hi, and they could be a guest of mine there. On October 3rd in Newark, New Jersey, I'm going to be at the New Jersey Institute of Technology, that's NJIT, a keynote speaker at 7 p.m. there for their Hispanic Heritage Month as well. And on both the topics there are going to be about running your career as a business. And certainly my style is engaging the audience and bringing them up and just having a lot of fun. And on October 12th, I'm going to be in San Antonio, Texas. That is the home of the Alamo. The SHIMBA, that's the National Society of Hispanic MBAs Conference and Career Expo. And for that one on Saturday, October 12th, I'll be running two programs. And these are both for the undergrads. It's called the Ignite program. And for certainly those who've got kids that are undergraduate and they're welcome to go, and certainly they can look at the Ignite undergraduate program at the NSHMBA, NSHMBA website and sign up for the program. And at 9 a.m. I'll be speaking on networking effectively to build your brand. And at 10:30 I'm going to run a panel, moderating a panel of human resource executives in helping those in attendance about, as undergraduates, how to work a career fair, what to look at, interviewing skills, branding, about eight different themes that we'll be covering in that 1.5-hour program. So you're certainly welcome to share the information with other individuals as well. So let's take a look at our mailbag. And our first question is, Rod, you use the word leverage, L-E-V-E-R-A-G-E, leverage, quite often, when coaching the CEO of Me, Inc. mindset model. Can you expand? I hate my job, but I am well compensated, have a family, and I have substantial debt. How do I gain leverage with my employer? That's a great question. Well, let's see. The definition of leverage is positional advantage. Positional advantage, power to act effectively. So it's a positional advantage, power to act effectively. So by having leverage, you have the power to act effectively. And absolutely. So here we go. So here's the individual at a job. He's working as hard as he can. He's putting out as much time, and he's being possibly micromanaged on a consistent basis. And his view, as many is, just the harder I work, the more job security I have. The harder I work, the more job security I have. The harder I work, the more job security I have. And that's not the case. Okay? So that's how most employees mindset individuals think. And that's how I grew up. That's what my parents taught me. Just keep working hard and you'll be okay. Well, not anymore. So leverage. So what can I do to leverage it? One is to incorporate and really think about your career as a business. That's the first thing, because it then opens your thinking, your processing, that it's not personal, it's not emotional, it's not about hating this boss or anything like that. It's just, it's purely business. Okay? I look at the boss or the manager as simply my client, and I look at the organization as the overall client that's paying me a fee. But there's not this loyalty. I want to do the best work I can. I want to provide great service and great value, but I will have a conversation which is transparent with my management. Okay? And that comes knowing you have leverage. Right? So if I go in on Monday not having any leverage and say, oh, I just spoke to Rod Colon and he told me to be the CEO of me, and I go in and say, boss, I don't like the way you're talking to me, and blah, 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 and, oh, I'm fired on Friday. No, we don't want to do that. We want to let our client know that I have some leverage. So I want to begin to start thinking about what are the skills that I'm really good at? What do I do really well? What am I great at? What am I good at? And what's the market demand for my skills? Early on in my transformation of becoming the CEO of me is, what do I do really well, and what's the market demand for my skills? Because if the market demand is high for what I do, I got immediate leverage. I don't need to stay here, boss. I don't have to tell you that, but I could go somewhere else. Most people don't think this way. Second, I start looking at, well, market demand for what I do right now is not so good, so it means that, that means I hide and go under a rock? No. That means you start thinking about things from education, certification, professional association, networking, volunteering. These are things I'll now start opening up. But Rod, I like my football and I was really good. I go home now on Sundays. I'm hanging there all day long watching football. They got Monday night football. And you know what? They got Thursday night football now. And I got college football all Saturday. I love what I'm doing on. Well, that's a business decision. It's your choices. You don't have to do this, but if you do, this is why you can leverage. So you now start leveraging your time, using your time for leverage and getting to know people, knowing what's going on, bringing in information. So now I speak to my boss and say, ooh, I'm not working with this group and they're bringing this information. Ooh, I'm working with these individuals. This is what they're doing. Oh, do you realize that individuals with our skill sets can go into this area and that area and this area? Oh, wow, I just got a few phone calls from a couple of agencies about what I do. Not looking to go, but, I see it as a market. I'm really interested in doing this new role. I'm interested in additional compensation. I'm interested in, you can now have the power to act effectively because you have leverage. Oh, Barah, this is unethical. Really? Look that one up and send that to me and find out where that's unethical. Hello. Phone's disconnected. Right? It's about creating positional advantage. Positional advantage. I think about chess when I think about that. I remember my good buddy Jesus Lopez went to high school together. We're still good buddies. Over in North Carolina. He and his brother Felix, and Felix he's just a great guy. He's a blessing, and he works with inner city kids and helping them to learn chess and to master chess, and he's a chess master. And they always talk about the thought of a tempo. And I don't know anything about chess, so I may be misspeaking, so forgive me. But there was always this thought about a tempo, a movement to increase a tempo, just a slight advantage, just simply a slight advantage in a chess game. That with these slight advantages, you actually create leverage for a certain where they have to act or move a piece or do something that they know will lend to a loss. And that's what we're looking to do. But these are not reactionary moves. This is not, a knee-jerk reaction. Boom. Right? You just have to work it, leveraging your network, thinking about your business, thinking about market demand, thinking about where you're going, long-term, what are the trends. Just recently I spoke about the theme about being an untouchable. which Tom Friedman talks about in his book, The World is Flat, which is how do you become an untouchable, which means that they can't touch you. Everybody needs you. What are the skills? So this is where, as a business owner, I'm always looking at what's the latest, what's new, how can I improve, what's the area and the segment of the market which is of greatest need, what's a product or a service out there that individuals are not doing, but I know there's a demand. Yes, that's 21st century thinking, mindset. And I know this is not what we picked up in high school and college and certainly at work. I know this is completely different. But when you speak with the hundreds of individuals that I have worked with over the years and they share with you this transformation of mindset, it's freeing. It's liberating. They have faith in themselves. They have hope that they, you know, of going forward, that they're not stuck. A great philosopher said, you know, many individuals are living quiet lives of desperation. Quiet lives of desperation. And as a coach, many individuals, when I speak with them in that first session, that's exactly where they're at. A quiet desperation. Being the CEO of me allows them to, in many ways, just free themselves up. But at core of what we do is above creating leverage, which is what CEO of me, the mindset does, which is positional advantage and the power to act effectively. You're listening to Own Your Career. This is Rod Colom from Columbus, Ohio, on Blog Talk Radio, taking your calls at 347-857-3320. That's 347-857-3320. And on blogtalkradio.com/Own Your Career. Next question in our mailbag here is, Rod, I am very happy in my job. Hallelujah. That's good. We like that. Actually, love it. Ooh, even better. But as the CEO of me, you say to keep networking alive and keep building and strategizing about a plan B just in case, what I call a God forbid. How should I approach this? Well, I'm happy for you, which is great, and that you love it. And you may be in this role that I call about where revenue and passion intersect, and I hope, and that's what I wish for everybody. But if the business is not your own and you're actually working for someone else, anything can happen. And we always have to protect our board of directors, our family, as to next steps. So what could be a plan B? Well, a couple of things I would say is let's make sure that we're networking with individuals who do what we do, who hire what we do, who do what we want to do, who hire what we want to do. We're networking in a professional network with them. We're volunteering our time to making sure that something that we want to do, but in our current role, we're not doing that. Well, how are we gaining some experience? How are we doing that? And setting up time for that. And that would be the approach, to network, to gain the experience, to find out the business intelligence about how to work out. So, for instance, if the question is, if someone gives me the question, Rod, if you were to be out of work for 3 months and you did not get a heads up, you had no idea, what's your disaster recovery plan? What's the disaster, the immediate disaster emergency recovery plan that you have? What are you going to put into place right now? And that's the way you need to think about that. If the organization was to fold, if your position was to be eliminated, if the organization is going to downsize, and it's not something that they're giving you a six-month lead time, but it's just done. What is your disaster recovery plan for your Inc. enterprise? And think that way. And certainly, as a coach, I'd be happy to help you with that. You know, drop me an email, give me a call. Next question. How does one overcome fear of public speaking? How does one overcome the fear of public speaking? That's a great question. And public speaking, for many, is visualizing on a podium, on a dais, sharing with a large audience. But public speaking, to me, is when we are networking one-to-one, when we're speaking with our connectors, when we are speaking with our advocates, when we're speaking with our mentors in various ways. This is all of the art of speaking and sharing, and this is all where we gain experience, and then certainly when we're doing it in a group, smaller group, mid, you know, larger group. There is a absolutely wonderful group called Toastmasters. This is an organization that has been around since the 1930s. They have probably hundreds of thousands of members and alums. They are worldwide, powerful networking organization with years of teaching individuals the art of public speaking as well as leadership. Toastmasters is known for its helping individuals in enhancing their leadership skills as well as their public speaking. There are thousands of local chapters near you. So if you go to the website toastmasters.org, I believe, and look up by zip code and a chapter near you. I know that by me in Jackson, New Jersey, within 25 miles, there are probably 50 different clubs. The way these chapters work out is they typically have 2 events per month, and they're so just wonderful individuals who are in your shoes at the point of just starting out and nervous and afraid and fearful and what do you do, and they're so gentle. And my concern was the critique, you know, are they going to kill me? Do I have to speak? Are they forcing me? Not at all. Not at all. They're such a wonderfully well-learned team, educated. They follow curriculums. They follow different business programs that they've done for so many years. So anything about fears and the critique and the just, you know, someone is giving you misinformation. Great, great group. And I've been to a few different chapters, and they're just wonderful people. But you do get the ability to speak, and you speak in short, like 1 to 2 minutes, 5 minutes, so they're very, very brief, just to help you to be able to be comfortable, and you could talk on any topic that you like. So certainly I would encourage each of you, students and mid-career professionals, to find a chapter. Some of you who are working, there might be chapters with your employer that they meet at lunchtime twice a month. I would encourage you to join a group or start a group. And many times a local group can support a sub-chapter. So these are things that you certainly want to group. But, and the neat thing is that there's a curriculum. So there's actually a booklet that you'll be given. There's certainly a nominal dues. You know, we're talking, you know, less than $100 for 6 months of just great, you know, opportunity membership and meeting people. So it's certainly worth the investment of time and of money to join Toastmasters. So wonderful question there. We'll take a few minutes here. You're listening to Own Your Career with Rod Colon from Columbus, Ohio on Blog Talk Radio. We're taking your calls at 347-857-3320, 347-857-3320. Zero. Last question. I don't want to work in my core area of expertise. What do I do? I don't want to work in my core area of expertise. What do I do? Well, the first question, and this is a good one, and I get this quite a bit, especially when someone has been downsized and they've been doing a specific area for many years. They then say, "What? I'm sick and tired of this. I hate this. I hate the organization. I hate the industry, I hate what I do," and okay. How important is money to you? Excuse me? How important is revenues and, you know, bringing in some money for the family? How important? Oh, it's very important. Benefits are very important. Okay, so let's say I say the same thing to you, and I say, well, I hate everything. I hate life. I hate this. I hate that, but I still need to make money. So what should I do? Well, you know, Rod, you can always work at McDonald's. You can always work at Home Depot. You can always, sure, but, you know, $8.50, $9, $10, it's not going to cover all the expenses. So I know that this is simply a reactionary comment, not one based on being the CEO of me. So we may not like what we do, but it is our expertise, and we certainly should continue to pursue that, especially to get back on our feet and stop the hemorrhaging of really tapping all the savings that we have or our 401ks and everything else. We certainly want to continue to do what we're doing, but in a better way, with a better employer, with better connections and contacts. But then the question is, well, what is it that you want to do? And most times the answer is, I don't know. So why don't you find work in the core space that you have and start developing one of the things that you do want to do? Is it teaching? Is it science? Is it something completely different? Let's begin to evaluate that and to really push forward with that, whether it's knowledge, training, experience, volunteer, going back to college, getting a master's, getting a certification, whatever it is, but doing that without the pressure of looking for work as well. Let's solidify, as they say, when you're flying, you know, in a jet, in a plane, you know, put the air mask on you first, and then you know you can put on everybody else. Let's make sure we solidify by getting the job first, getting the revenues. And hey, look, they're clients. I'm not getting married to them. They're clients. They could be 6 months. They could be 3 months. They could be 6 years. But they're clients. They deserve our best work and effort for that period of time. They don't own us. We're not indentured servants. And this is where this employee mindset is. We have these unrealistic expectations. And when we think of our client as, when we think of our employer as a client, boy, are we much more effective and efficient in our conversation, in our transparency, and having them understand clearly what we're looking to do, and we understand what value is, we understand what their expectations are. There's significantly better communications between ourselves and the client and management. Because I'm running a business. I'm a vendor. I'm providing a service. If I know if I'm not providing the service that you like, that I'm at risk, and I want to make sure that I understand. Not looking at my Ouija board, horoscope, biorhythms, whatever, to kind of figure out what's going on at work. No, we discuss it. That's business. So that's the way I would prepare that. So a lot of fun. A lot of fun here in Columbus, Ohio, and another wonderful week that this time just flies by. Well, I certainly want to thank everyone over at the Lead Your Career, the folks over at St. Francis of Assisi with the work that we were doing there last Saturday and helping them to kind of get back on their feet. And they've taken the challenge. They're actually calling it the challenge that every day they're finding one opening. Every day they're finding one opening that's a 70% or better match and getting some good guidance. And I'm sure those who are listening in that are part of the challenge are saying, I had no idea that I can actually find openings, find connections and advocates, begin the process of a value proposition. They're like, whoa, we're taking it at a just completely different level because they're serious. Did everyone take the challenge? No. But those who are serious about their careers, about their family, that job search is not a hobby, we got involved and we're having fun. To find out more information about how to own your career, visit my website. That's rodcolon.com, RODCOLON.com. I'd love to hear from you during the week. You can contact me at rod@rodcolon.com. I appreciate you, our listeners. We know how difficult it is to own your career. Thank you for listening in. Next week's theme is, are you ready for this? How to leverage LinkedIn as the CEO of Me, Inc. How to leverage LinkedIn as the CEO of Me, Inc. You don't want to miss that one. This is Rod Colon. Have a great week. God bless you and own your career. Take care, everybody.